Okay.
The recording's going to miss the intro.
All right. Picking up where we left off, the opinions expressed here today are those of the individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. The format for this session is as follows. We will have three speakers who will share for 12 minutes each, followed by questions or three-minute open pitches until 5 minutes before the end of the session, which is 3:45. The topic for this session is the importance of willingness. Our first speaker is Jack S.
I'm Jack. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jack.
Thanks, Lois. oh, God, willingness. Well, let me just real quick. I've been in program 38 years last week, and I was young when I got here, and all of a sudden I got old. I don't know how it happened. And my top weight is 305. I'm a compulsive overeater from the get-go, elementary school, junior high, high school. 318, lost it all at UCLA, got a new car and a new suit and a new girlfriend and a new briefcase, and I figured no symptom, no problem. Then I went to graduate school, the obligatory next step for people of my persuasion. And so next thing I knew, I found myself in law school, and by the end of the first year, I was back up 100 pounds. So I've been 100, and I tell people I enjoyed losing it so much that I gained it all back so I could do it again. Willingness is interesting. I mean, for the first 6 years of program, I'm lucky. Here's the thing. I'm lucky. When I got here, I had nowhere else to go. I had hit bottom in a way that the reading from, especially the AA literature, but even the OA literature then, seemed to apply to me, even though I was not your typical person in OA in 1982. It was all older women, older than me then, and just a whole different life experience. But when I got here, I had already had two failed careers, and my friends, all of them, by the time I got here, were practicing attorneys, except for the smart ones who were practicing doctors. And it wasn't a matter of whether you're going to go to grad school or not. Just like nobody wondered if they were going to go to middle school after elementary school. That's just what you do. We didn't have any blue collar people in my community. We didn't have any people who stopped at a bachelor's degree. That's just where I came from. And it was very middle class, very normal family. But that's the way it was. So the disease, I didn't have a lot of willingness to do anything. I mean, it's amazing how little self-esteem and how pro... There's people in the program who say every area of their life worked except for the eating. When I got here, no area of my life worked. I had terrible relationships. My job experience was just miserable. I couldn't work. I just didn't have it, and nobody understood that. There was a guy named Henry who now lives in the desert, but he used to be in L.A. And one day in this third career, the one I've kept now for 35 years, I had to take an internship for free, a second one where I had to pay them, and a third one where I was getting supervision and they were paying me $7 an hour. So I asked Henry, should I take that third job? And Henry was very successful. And he had been raised with, like, tools and skills and that kind of parenting. And he started yelling at me on the phone. He said, don't you know when you want something, you have to work for it? And I told him to shove it up his ass because, the truth be known, I didn't know that. I mean, I may have known it here, maybe. But I couldn't translate it. All I wanted to do as a compulsive overeater was compulsively overeat. I mean, I took a job in the insurance business after law school because it was white collar. I could carry a briefcase. And the Jewish community thought I was still a somebody. But I couldn't sell anything. I had 4.5 years of life insurance sales, selling nothing, making up clients, making up names, making up schedules, making up sales, making up appointments. It was just abysmal. And all I was willing to do was get up, get dressed, and maybe go to a local bowling alley and play pinball machines. All my friends were like having families and mortgages and cars and houses, and I was having lunch and playing pinball machine in a bowling alley, really off the 10 freeway in West Covina. It sounds like a bad story, but that's where I was going. There was a New York life insurance company building right off the freeway in West Covina. I'd go there, and I'd go to the bowling alley for 4 or 5 hours and come home and tell the manager, the supervisor, I couldn't sell anything. I don't know why. And because I wasn't, I mean, who's going to buy life insurance in a bowling alley? I mean, it was very bizarre. I didn't have the willingness to do anything. So I get the program, and all of a sudden, all the structure I wasn't raised with. I mean, I joke that I could have gotten a good upraising from my father. I am the adult child of a Jewish accountant, and so everything was very structured and organized and by the book. But I was too rebellious. I couldn't do it. If he said, you know, get a haircut, I went for a job interview in a Big Eight accounting firm in 1977 or 78 because I had the law degree, and I didn't get the job. And my dad said, "Why?" And I said, "I don't know." The truth was, everybody there, every male there, was 6 feet tall, 180. I was 6 feet tall, 280. Everybody there was clean cut. There was no facial hair in the 70s for men in that field. I had a beard. It's not that difficult to shave, but I didn't do it. And everybody there was wearing a three-piece suit. I owned a three-piece suit, but I wore a two-piece suit. And then I wondered why I didn't get the job. I wasn't willing, in retrospect, to do anything, to work hard, because I didn't know that. I was just low functioning, which is really hard when you got a lot of intelligence and no ability to translate it into anything. And then watching people whose lives were working, wondering, how do they do it? And all I wanted to do was either eat or kill myself. In program, I got a sponsor the first day. I think the first day. They said, find somebody who has what you want. And the speaker at my very first meeting was married. He was funny. He was reasonably fit. And he had been fat. That was all the criterion I needed. And so I got him to be my sponsor, and he was my sponsor for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, we fired each other. I wasn't very honest with him. But what I did do is I did go to meetings, and I took some of the actions he suggested. I was willing to some. Like he said, call me every day and tell me what you're eating. So I called him every day and told him food stuff. But I wasn't going to tell him what I was eating. I mean, that was way too personal. Michael B. In West Hollywood, West L.A., talks about telling another human being the exact nature of your food. And I thought, I liked that. So I had him for 6 years, this guy. Then I had a woman sponsor for 6 years. Normally, in OA, we don't believe in that. And the funny thing was, she asked me, she saw I was floundering, and she asked me if I'd like her to sponsor me. And I said, in case you haven't noticed, A, in my arrogance, I'm a 100-pounder and you're not. B, I've been around program longer than you. C, I'm male and you're female. And D, we used to date. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't be doing this. And she gave me another couple of minutes. Actually, gave me another couple of years. No, it was a couple of days. And she said, again, if you need a sponsor, let me know. Well, I said yes eventually. And fond memories hearing you this morning, Greg. She sponsored me for 6 years. And she exposed me to the spirituality program. Gary had worked a lot with the steps. And then the second sponsor worked a lot with the spirituality of recovery. And that exposed me to what the program's really all about. Then we had our falling out 6 years later. I was on the six-year plan. And I got somebody now who's been sponsoring me. We just celebrated birthdays last week. And I've been his opening act on the birthday thing for 25 years, because he's got 3 years more than me. About 5 years ago, he busted me, saying that even after 30 years and 20 with him, he said, you're going to program, but you're not working a program. And I told him to shove it up his ass. And then I listened about I asked him what he meant. And it wasn't that the far-fetched what he was proposing. So that day, we went back to me calling him, 5 days a week, after 30 years. I'd call him every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I'd see him at our meeting on Saturday. I guess God rested on Sunday, and he wanted to rest. He wanted a break from me on Sunday. He had more important things to do with his Sunday. Could you believe that? The chutzpah of that guy. Anyway, he's been sponsoring me for 25 years, and he said to me, this is what I would do. And he said he'd get a food sponsor, because I was fetching to him about my food. And after 30 years... if that's not in order, I got bigger problems than even I thought. But I got a food sponsor about 6, 7, 8 years ago, and I have not missed sending my food in. I've been willing to send my food into her every meal, every bite, every food for whatever it's been, 7, 8 years. And again, calling my sponsor for probably 5 years until one day he said to me, I hope for me, maybe for him, you don't have to call me every day anymore. So I don't now, but I'm going to more meetings than ever before. I've been willing to go to meetings, but I've always wanted to. I take service positions because I'm supposed to, but I really enjoy being of service. I have a sponsor and I sponsor. I don't always want to be a sponsor, but I was told, you don't have to want to. You got to do the things you got to do. You got to do it. There was a famous quote from an outside source, some happened to be a Holocaust survivor, but I think he was an MD or a psychiatrist. And he said that between stimulus and response, there is a space. There is a space. And in that space, there's the opportunity for decisions. And in those decisions come our freedom and our happiness. So I've got to be willing to put a space between stimulus and response. I'm angry, I want to eat, but I don't eat. Well, what do you do? It doesn't matter. When I came into the program, I wrote down 3 meals a day, nothing in between, no sugar, no flour, and no alcohol. And that's still my food plan 38 years later. I've never had sugar again. So how do you not have sugar for the rest of your life? I don't not have sugar for the rest of my life. I don't have sugar today. And I'll wake up tomorrow, and though the game will be played tomorrow, I hope, that when I wake up on Sunday, it'll be today. And for today, I don't eat sugar. Maybe tomorrow. And then when I wake up tomorrow, though it'll be Monday, it'll be today. And is it a game? Yes. Is it silly? Yes. For me, it works. No matter what, there's a big deal. Willingness, I didn't want to. There's a lot of things I don't want to do. But as my sponsor assures me and the fellows who I talk to, I don't have to want to do anything. I have to be willing to do it because, I mean, everything about program is about taking action. And the HOW about willingness and open-minded and honesty, there's just like a computer, like a robot, like a, put it in autopilot. This is what I do. I go to my meetings. I do my service. I call my sponsor. I don't eat sugar. I write if assigned. So in answer to Henry's question today, don't you know if you want something, you have to work for it? Now I know that. I'm almost 70 years old, but now I know that. And I do it today. And if somebody wants what those of us in recovery have, I'll be telling the same thing Henry and Terrell and all those people told me. There's certain things I got to do today and certain things I oughtn't do today, that the doing of which will buy me another day in heaven. It'll buy me another day. I get a daily reprieve predicated upon doing the do. The book says keeping a fit spiritual condition, but doing the do. I turn my life and my will over to the extent that I'm aware of that, and I take action, and I listen to direction, and that's what I do. And again, it's a moot point what I feel like. When I hear people say they can't stick to their abstinence because there's not a lot of good choices at the 7-Eleven, or their work puts out food and there's never the right things, I don't even know what to say anymore. There's nowhere I can go where I can't get what I can eat. My wife jokes that you could drop him off 3 times a day with $4 at a gas station, you know, shop, and he'll find something to buy, something to eat, and call himself abstinent. So if you're new, you just keep coming back, first of all. Get somebody to tell you in the beginning what to do or make suggestions, and just do it, no matter what. Thank you.
I can do it. Hi, everyone. I'm Kaylee R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kaylee.
I'm really excited to speak on this. I'm a bit nervous. This is my first panel. And I'm following up somebody who's been in this program for a long time. And I have, I've been in program since 2015. So we're close. Yeah. I have been recovered for about 1.5 years. My story is a lot of grief, especially in program, has been a lot of grief that I've overcome through program. But willingness is how I got through it. So I'm just going to start at the beginning of my story. So I came into program a couple years ago, and at that time, I was willing to do whatever they said for me to do, right? I was, I tried everything else. I was willing in Weight Watchers. I was willing on whatever diet I did, but then eventually it stopped working because I tried to be in control and I tried to do it myself. So when I came here, I was 100% willing to do whatever they told me to do. And I wanted, I'm a people pleaser and I like to be perfect because that's something we can strive for. And so I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to be a people pleaser. So whatever you told me to do is what I was going to do. And so she told me I need to figure out what my my abstinence should be. And at the time, it was deep fried foods and flour. And that's where I started. Because for me, at the time, sugar wasn't an issue because I was eating so much of the other junk food. I was more of a salty person than a sweet person. So after a year of that, I said, okay, sugar is an issue. And I became willing to give that up. And during that time, I moved to Northern California, and the program, and I started here in Los Angeles. Thank you. And the program up there wasn't the same as the program here. And I struggled to find my groove. And so I stuck with my original sponsor, who was still in Los Angeles. And about a year later, I started listening to some phone meetings, and I made a good friend there. And she and I would talk very, very regularly, and that was kind of how I was staying connected to this program. And I got a phone call last 2 Mays ago that she had died through suicide. And that put me into relapse. But I didn't know I was in relapse, right? It was just a little slip. If it had less than 5 grams of sugar, it was okay. If it was fake sugar, it was okay. And I started making all these excuses for reasons that I could have these other things. And I went to a retreat the next September. Had no idea I was in relapse. Kim G was speaking. And the first thing she said on the first night was, there's no such thing as a slip, only a relapse. And I sat there and I said, oh, crap, I'm in relapse. And I think I didn't want to admit that while I was in Northern California because I didn't have the support that I would have needed or that I felt that I needed, and I would have left, and I would be out in the food right now. So at that retreat, I admitted that I was in relapse and I needed to figure out what to do. So I got a new sponsor, and she tells me I need to give up sugar and all these ingredients, and I walk up to her with my can of Diet Pepsi, and I said, can I have this? And she just shakes her head no, and I start bawling, right? I was completely willing to give it up because I was so desperate at that point. There was the insanity that was going on in my head when I thought I was abstinent wasn't there. And so I start crying. She says, it's okay, we'll have a funeral. And not joking, I buried it by the stream. And we took pictures and we said nice things. And that was probably the I don't know how to say that properly, but the time I was most willing in this program. I was so desperate that I was willing to give away my best friend, because for me, Diet Pepsi was my best friend. It was always there for me when I was lonely or anxious or tired or happy. Growing up, I grew up in a house where I didn't know it was anxiety, but that guilty feeling in the pit of your stomach I had all the time, and I thought that was normal. And Diet Pepsi helped me numb that, along with, you know, other fake sugars and things. But at the time I thought, as long as it's not real sugar, it's okay. And so when I gave up that Diet Pepsi, it's when I realized I was 100% willing to do anything that was asked of me. And to now, so I worked the steps with that person, and I got recovered, and I no longer see food as my solution. When something happens, food is not the answer to my problems. The answer to my problems is either go to my higher power or pray or make outreach or do a 10th step. You know, whatever the issue is, food is not my solution anymore, and that came because of how willing I was. I was so desperate that I was willing to do anything that I could possibly do to not be crazy around the food. One crazy thing that happened that weekend with the Diet Pepsi is, along with Diet Pepsi that has sugar, but alcohol has sugar, and I was still drinking. And so I called my boyfriend, and I said, I have to give up Diet Pepsi. Are you still going to be with me? I was 27 at the time. He was 28. We still went to bars and things like that. I wasn't concerned about him breaking up with me over the alcohol. I was concerned about the Diet Pepsi. Like, that is pure insanity. Like, that is the crazy that was going on in my head. And I was serious. I was crying. I was afraid to call him and tell him. I, like, put myself back there, and it's crazy. It's crazy for me where I was thinking. He laughed at me, and I'm bawling, and I'm like, why are you laughing? This is serious. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. I was like, all right. So since I got recovered last year, the way this program has worked in my life, last December, I was able to make an amends to my grandfather. And I was never, here's willingness again. I was never willing to do that in the past. I've worked the steps 3 times, and the first 2 times, he was the last one I wanted on the list. It was like, I'll get through these, and then I'll do him. He was like the hard one. And so last Christmas, I finally became willing to make that amends to him. And I did, and he told me it was the best Christmas present I could have ever given him, or anyone could have ever given him. And I went in the bathroom and I cried for a half an hour. I don't know why. I think it was relief or release of the emotion that I had been holding on to for so long. And that willingness came again because I'd finally given up the food. I'd finally given up those ingredients that were making me sick every single day. This past summer, his cancer came back, and I was able to talk to him the night before he passed away. And I would have never done that if it hadn't been for that amends that I made. I'm so grateful to this program, and I'm so grateful to my sponsor who helped me work through it. Because again, if I hadn't been willing to make that amends to him, I wouldn't have gotten us to talk to him that last time. And my dad was there with him and told me his face lit up when he talked to me. We hadn't spoken in like 3 years before I made that amends. And I think that's, you know, kind of what this program can do for you. And it's what, my life is just so much better today. I get through the day, and if I'm resentful, I try to look at what I did wrong. Like, why was I mad at that person? Like, what does that have to do with me? I don't try to blame my life on others anymore. Bad things that happen are not on others anymore. I don't know that I have a whole lot more to say, but if you're new, do whatever they ask you to do. Just do it. And if it's, you know, it doesn't work for you, and then somebody else comes, just try it for like a week or a day. I do the same thing with the day. Yeah, or I tell my sponsees, if they're saying they have an issue giving up the fake sugar, I say, can you just do it today? Tomorrow, maybe you can have it, but for today, can you say no? And then the next morning rolls around, can you do it again? And it's just one day at a time, and maybe it's 1 minute at a time, maybe it's 1 hour at a time, but you just need that little tiny bit of willingness. And there's so many people here who want to support you and want to help you. And again, we need you more than you need us. We want to be of service to you, and we want to help you. I wish everybody could have what I have. I wish there were, I know there's so many people who are struggling with this disease who are not in this program, who probably don't know about this program. And I wish there was a way to spread that message more, and that's kind of something that I'm working on. But I think without that willingness, that's what keeps us here, that little tiny bit. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Corey. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hello, can you guys hear me? That's a shame. I'd like to crawl into the woodwork. Those are tough acts to follow. My goodness, I thought I'd be safe going last. So willingness. I woke up this morning. I'm very tired. It's been quite a week. I was cold. I was heading to another meeting. I wanted to throw on some sweats. And I put on something nice, and I went to another meeting, and I came here, and I'm here to tell you. So I think, first of all, that's willingness, if you ask me. One of the things that I've learned about willingness is I wanted to be willing when I was in my disease. So first of all, I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been also a restrictor at times. I have a history with something called diabulimia, which is manipulating. I'm a type 1 diabetic, manipulating my insulin to manage my weight. It's a quick path to death, but I thought it sounded like a bright idea. I didn't know it was a thing. Like I learned about that thing here, and then through some professional channels. But I wanted to stop. Every day I wanted to stop. I wanted to stop abusing myself. I wanted to stop feeling like crap. I wanted to stop. Once I started restricting, because I was on all this insulin, because I was eating so much as a kid, I started passing out, and I wanted to stop that. I would write little notes to myself all over my dorm room when I was in my disease. I came here when I was in my early 20s. I came in 1988 to Al-Anon, and then about 9 months later, I got here. If there was a way to have done this without having to come here, without a higher power, without the gift of sponsorship and all the tools that I use, I feel like I would have found it. I feel like I tried everything, and still I was killing myself. And wow, that was fast. Okay, so I feel like for me, the thing that changed was I came here, first of all, and I related. I heard all of you. I was willing to listen to all of you. And I feel like it's totally higher power related that I have the desire to walk towards health today rather than continue to abuse myself. And it wasn't that I didn't want to be healthy. I thought when I was in my disease that if I did everything in secret, if I ate in secret and I restricted in secret and I manipulated my insulin in secret and I said bad things about people and and raged about my resentments in secret, but I was nice to all of you, or I looked like I ate what I thought you thought I should eat, so that you thought that I thought that you thought that I thought, right? Air quotes to the people on the tape. Is there even still tapes? I don't think there's still tapes, but I'm really dating myself. I really thought that if you thought that I was perfect, that somehow that would translate to me becoming perfect. And my desire to get better wasn't enough. And so I came here, and I really struggled. I think a lot of willingness is higher power for me, so I'm going to talk some about that. I didn't believe in God. I was raised in kind of a culturally Jewish family. I had a bat mitzvah. I socked that money away, as a good, I wasn't an accountant, but there are so many things that I do well. I have almost a perfect credit score, right? But I couldn't figure out what to do with my food. So I was going to tell you about God. Welcome to my brain. I'm a little ADD. So I didn't believe in God, but I wanted to. The people in here that had a light in their eyes were the ones that had some relationship with this thing, whatever it was. My experience with God, or so I thought, was people that talked about God in a way that didn't align with my religion, didn't align with what I believed, didn't align with what I don't know. I had all these judgments about God. But I came in, and so that you wouldn't throw me away, I started saying that I believed in God. And I think I was acting as if, although I felt a little bit like a fraud, but I was like, yeah, my higher power really did this for me. And that parking spot, yay, right? That was the kind of God that I had. And I remember early on in program, I went to a retreat at Camp Hess Kramer, if I'm also dating myself, if anyone remembers those. And we did a want ad for God, right? And that, the reason I'm talking about God is because that's for me where my willingness comes from. Like I'm telling you, I would have found a way. Like I was just that person. I was Toto. I was going to get to Oz, but I couldn't do it with food. So for me, God, spirit, higher power, she, he, it, whatever it is for anybody, and I don't know what it is for me, it changes on a, daily basis, is what, I was telling someone this morning that yesterday, so it's a, I'm coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the murder-suicide of my father and stepmother, And I didn't think, like, I've been all along kind of a, I don't know, like an arm's length from all the feelings. Like, they would come a little bit and they would go away. And I think I've maybe been in denial a long time. But yesterday, as I was thinking about, oh, maybe that's why I feel so uncomfortable, I really was hungry, right? Like, the hunger doesn't go away. The cravings don't go away. Well, they do, actually, sometimes. But what I did was I got quiet, and I talked to my higher power, and I you know, and it was something, the prayer, the really pithy, in-depth, super brilliant prayer was, God, you got to help me here, because I don't want to destroy myself. And I had an okay food day, you know, and I got through it, and I'm having grief, and maybe 10 years for me is my timeline to, like, get in touch with those feelings. And I have to say, so I wasn't sure what I was going to say when I got up this morning and wanted to wear sweats and not take a shower. So I looked up willingness. So willingness, it said, is being eagerly compliant. And the difference between willingness and, I don't know, white knuckling is that the compliance doesn't come from just my soul desire, but it comes from an eagerness that for me is higher power directed. Like, that was the change for me. And so I did this want ad for God early on. And then a bunch of years later, I started, and I think I started to feel a sense of, an internal sense of peace and a connection to that higher power. And there was a time I was going through a really hard time, way before the stuff with my parents. And I called up my then sponsor, and I said, you know, I'm really struggling. I don't feel God. Thank you. And she said, what's your definition of God? And I said, well, I wrote this one ad. Hang on, let me get it. God's in my file cabinet under G, right? That's how I roll. And I read it to her, and she said, you know, maybe your conception of God is changing. And maybe that definition doesn't fit for you anymore. And I stopped defining God on the direction of that sponsor who's in this room actually today. I stopped defining God, and my concept of God got bigger, and my program changed. So another piece of willingness I'll tell you, I wrote down all these notes, but I'm not going to read them. Did you flash another thing? Okay. So abstinence for me was a trial and error thing in the beginning. And one day on the heels of moving in with a very cute roommate who was very straight, and I'm not, and she was a woman. I have to give you more part of that story to have you understand why that's important. And he was very straight. That would be weird, but unless you know me. She was a practicing bulimic, and I started eating with her because it was a way to stay connected to her. So that's why I also go to Al-Anon, but thankfully. And one day I wanted to leave. That didn't feel good anymore. It felt like I was back destroying myself. And I had had a reprieve from that here in this program. I was given the willingness by higher power. And so I moved out of that roommate relationship, and I wanted to get abstinent again. I didn't want to destroy myself ever again to be connected to another human being. Every day I wanted to get abstinent, and every day I would wake up and I would say, today's going to be day one, tomorrow's going to be day two, and I appreciate what you said, but there was food at work, and it was the kind of food, and I had to have some because it was free, and it was hard for me, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if I heard it at a meeting or what, but one day I woke up and I said, today's day one, tomorrow's day two, unless I leave. I'm going to just make it that simple. And my food cleaned up, because it wasn't me white knuckling. It wasn't me trying to find the willingness under the couch with the fur balls. It was me, like, I gave it to, you know, I'm just going to keep on coming back, and that's enough. And my food cleaned up. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, I didn't eat, like, I was raised with my mother always on diets, and although she was vomiting too, and there was a lot of drama, but, and with a lot of rage and a lot of, like, I didn't think I was good enough. That was my message from early on. It was a lot of abuse in my family, and which gratefully the steps have helped me get in touch with. And, you know, I don't think I have a part in, by the way, in being abused as a kid, but when I kept on perpetuating that, like eating, and that's where my part came in. That's where my part column in the four step. And somehow I think every day on a daily basis, whatever time I get up in the morning, I'm given the gift of willingness. And I no longer live in chemical numbness. You know, I mean, I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. I thought I was for a while, but I'm not. I'm voluntarily sober. That was an easy thing for me to give up. I've never smoked pot. I've never done coke. I've never done any of those things. Those things don't excite me. But I can't say that food doesn't excite me either. It still does. I had the great salad for lunch today. I stopped on the way here from a meeting in Beverly Hills, and I picked up a salad, and it was so great, and it was twice as much food as I needed. And you know what? I stopped before I was halfway through. Pardon the pun, but because I was full, and I said to the people at the table, I said, "Boy, I really hate to throw away this salad because it's so yummy." But I could have eaten the rest of the salad. I could probably, you know, my father said, "You eat like a truck driver." When I was a kid, did you raise the thing? Is my time up? Feels like I've been talking forever. And I'm perfectly capable of eating like a truck driver. I am, and I did. And I did when I was a little kid. And at some point, the weight started coming on, but there was a time before that where I just thought, boy, I'm lucky. I just kept on eating and eating and eating. And I ate your food and my food and our food. And, I'd help in the kitchen with the leftovers. And, you know, I think I grew up in chemical numbness. And the willingness, I guess... I love what someone else said about the space in between. I think I always thought that wanting to eat and eating were the same thing. And I, the willingness to want to eat and work a tool, thank you, so that I didn't eat the rest of my salad, which was so yummy. I don't have any words to tell you how yummy the salad was. And half of it's in the trash because there was no one else I could give it to. And I didn't need the rest of the salad, so I know I'm all over the place, but that's my share. Thanks.
All right. The meeting is now open for questions or 3-minute shares. We're going to put this release form on the podium, and anyone that wants to speak, please come up here. We ask that you limit your share to 3 minutes and confine your share to your experience, strength, and hope on the topic today. This session ends at 3:45. Who would like to be first?
Martine, I'm a compulsive eater.
Martine.
Pardon me? Oh, hold it. Okay, thanks. And I'm from Oklahoma, and I was here last year this time. And I have a story that several of you guys share. I had a 16-year-old daughter who took her own life, and at 13, she was raped. We didn't find out about the details of it until after she had taken her life. But in the interim, she participated in a lot of drug and alcohol abuse as well. And she was a drug dealer. And so things went downhill fast. And we did not have a leave it to beaver kind of family before that. So she had a lot to deal with. And the reason I'm up here for willingness is that I've been in OA since 1987, and I've been on the ups and downs, but I kind of thought that there was some kind of contract here that, you know, we would be happy, joyous, and free. And you don't know that you're buying into a lie until it comes crashing down, and you go, oh, I guess I believed that if I really worked my program that this horrific thing wouldn't happen. And nobody likes to see that. But the point of saying that is that I was willing, this program taught me to just keep coming back. And it taught me how to use the tools of the program and take the actions of the program, even when I didn't feel willing. And the first thing I realized I didn't feel willing to do was live. And there was a reading. Someone sent it to me. I can't recall what piece of literature it was in. But it did mention that sometimes we need help with willingness to live. And what I found over the 3 years since she died is that I was willing to be abstinent, but until I got willing to live, there would always come a day when I would say, oh, who cares? Because I don't even want to be here. So I really think the desire to live must precede the desire to be abstinent, because abstinence isn't enough when you're fighting just to stay alive. And there were many, especially weekends, when I didn't want to be here. I wanted to be absent. It was not an active suicidal wish. I didn't have a plan. I just didn't want to be here. And somehow this fall, I believe, because of the prayers of you guys and the continued support of you guys over the years, and teaching me how to continue taking the actions, whether I felt like it or not, that's what taught me willingness. And so in September, when I somehow got the desire to live again, I know that that was a product of the willingness to do all the actions that had to get me through those 3 years. And today I have a desire to live and a desire to be abstinent, and it has continued since September. And I'm 39 pounds down, but most importantly, I am willing to live, and that's because of you guys. Thank you.
I think I did it wrong. I did it backwards. Anyway, hi, I'm Kirsten, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
And it's really touching to me to come to OA and see all the other people with this bizarre disorder that I've never wanted to have, and I've had ever since I can remember, since I was 7, and I first came to OA. I first came to OA in 1976. 1976 was a year there was a lot of spiritual awakening in Los Angeles. I came to OA before I came to AA, and I never wanted to admit it in AA. I never wanted to admit at all that I was OA to anybody ever, because it was such a secret. It's still even hard for me now, I mean, to deal with it, and yet I didn't get willing till 5 years ago. I went to meetings all over Los Angeles, and I was trying to find a meeting that would click, and I found a lot of meetings that clicked, but I still wasn't willing to be one of you. I didn't want it. I could do it myself. I could restrict, and I didn't gain a lot of weight. I mean, I really managed to, and I was obsessed with food all the time. And I was in OA as well, AA, so, and there's a lot of food there. I remember there was a birthday, and I'd come over to the cake, and I'd have my finger in the cake in these meetings, because there's an awful lot of food in AA. And I was in a really good group, and I don't think I could have gotten well there. I really, in OA then, I don't think so. I think that it's the way it is. I think that I had to do what I had to do and have the obsession as long as I had and do it myself as long as I did. And I always found, you know, like I would drive miles out to the Valley, to Orange County. There's really great meetings in LA, and I'd find my way to them. And it wasn't that I was binging every day. It was just that I was just denying that I even had this. How could I? How couldn't I do it myself? And I couldn't. I need you guys.
Kathy, a compulsive overeater.
I'm Kathy.
So this is being taped, so I won't share one detail. I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me now? Related to several of you, especially Corey, Camp Hess Kramer. Yeah. So I went to several meetings here, and I walked out on one of them. I came to OA when I was 17. I'm now 65. I'll be 66 in a few days. I left several times. I'm a compulsive overeater, but I'm also bulimic. And started on Gray Sheet. For those of you who are new or don't know Gray Sheet, how many of you don't know Gray Sheet? Okay, Gray Sheet, most of you do know Gray Sheet. Gray Sheet was our original way of doing OA, and it was a pretty rigid way, weighing and measuring. For some of us, it didn't work. I tried it very hard. I tried to stick to it, and I ended up leaving. I just didn't fit in with everybody else. But I was a compulsive overeater. I remember going to my first meeting, and I listened to the speaker, and he shared about eating out of the trash. And I thought, I do that. Somebody else does that. And I totally identified. But what I didn't identify with and what I couldn't ever do is stick to a diet. And Gray Sheet felt like a diet. So I had to go back out there and do a lot of abusive behavior. And I'm also a recovering alcoholic. I have 14 years of sobriety and abstinence. And thank God for finding a sponsor that understood bulimia. My abstinence today is so joyful and freeing. I can eat anything I want. I cannot feel deprived. That's what works for me. I've worked the steps maybe 10 different times. I also have lost my parents. They both died when I was a little girl, 55 years ago. I did not grieve for them until I got abstinent 14 years ago. I would not let myself cry. Oh, I guess my time's up. Anyway, I am very grateful. Service, I will do anything I have to do. Willingness is what kept me coming back. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you so much, because we use keys to get in the door. For me, the key is willingness. And you know what? I've been in this program over 30 years, and I've had my willer broken many times. And I have to get on my knees and ask God to help me to have the willingness, because sometimes I don't. Look at the word will. It has an I in it, right? When I take I out of there, when I don't believe that I am God and He can control my life better and He wants me healthy, the willingness comes. But I have to, you know, I have to do that surrender. And when I sponsor, because I am a writer, I have them look up a definition. So I really appreciate it when you said something about willingness and the definitions, because I have them look up the opposite word. So the opposite word is rebellion and resistance. I have to see that on paper, that I am this little bratty kid that doesn't want good health and do what God says. It's the child within yelling and screaming, you know, I want my way. Or when I was a little kid, you know, if there was any kind of reward, I did good in school or whatever, you know, there was ice cream, there was this, there was that, or whatever. And now, as I'm watching my dear husband eating, you know, his nighttime food, and I said, put it in a basket so I don't see it, I have to have the willingness that I'm going to stay on track for this, and it's really, really hard. And I can't look at his stuff. And you know what? His cholesterol's fine. Mine isn't. Life isn't fair. And he said to me, Carol, fair's in the Pomona, at Pomona, you know, the Pomona Fair. But it's just like, yeah. And I, every year, we just start a new year. I have a new word in willingness of what I want to work towards. And this year, it was embracing change. So many things are changing, and one of the changes has been a relationship with my daughter that has been estranged, and she's still that way. And I've had to work acceptance. I had to have the willing to turn it around. And you know what I found by sponsoring, especially younger people? I've got some younger California daughters that want to hear and listen and whatever, and it's helped me so much grow that leave her to God. Let him take care of it. I've got to have the willingness to turn over my relationships, my food, and people, and also just working with people pleasing. I have to have the willingness to stop doing that and to let God take over and move on. So I just wrote this little acrostic for willingness. It's the W is wait on God. The I is I am not God, so I got to take the I out. And the other one is look to sponsors and guidance. And the last one is look to God for help. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Rosalinda, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you for all being here. And I'm very grateful by God's grace to stand before you today. I came into this program 25 years ago, and I weighed 265 pounds. And I used to wear muumuus and flip-flops all the time. And I don't do that today, by the God's grace. I don't dress up for you, I dress up for me. To remind myself that I have the gift of life, that I have the gift of fun and joy, and that I can share with all of you that fun and joy. Willingness. I have the willingness to show up, to suit up, no matter what. And sometimes that means getting on my knees and telling God, I am terrified, and getting up and going forward. I did that 6 months ago. My son was in the Far East. He was in a lot of trouble. I was terrified to go see him. And I said, God, in my prayer and meditation, I knew he needed me. And I got on that plane and I took that 14-hour journey. And it was a miracle. I found a miracle in my son. And his words were always, when I got scared in this country and didn't know what I was doing, he was like God whispering in my ear, Mom, you can do this. I know you can do this. And God acted through him. And that commitment to show up no matter what. God chose this young man to move me forward into a new job, into a new place to live, into a willingness to believe. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cheryl, recovering compulsive overeater, food addict. And thank you very much. I was reflecting just a little bit. I was here last year, and I was probably, because this program is all about honesty and transparency, I don't know where I'm at on the scale now, but I'm probably up 75 to 100 of where I was last year. And, you know, last year when I came here, I was down 200. My max was 364, and I got down to ideal weight for me, which was 164. This whole last year in relapse, abstinence, on and off, and for me, it was facing there's a verbiage in one of the meetings I go to. It says sexuality was safely hidden. And for me, it was, you know, that fat pad was the armor to keep people away, coming from being sexually abused. And I think the next big issue that my higher power, who I choose to call God, wants me to face, it came up. Someone called me after a phone meeting, and then it came up today, is probably incest. And, you know, do I want to face that? No. But am I willing? I guess I want to be. So I also want to present a question, because I'm not willing. I'm going to be honest. I'm not willing right now to give up the food. It's too precious to me. And I don't want to go back up to where I was. And I know this is a progressive disease. Thankfully, by the grace of God, I have not left these rooms, and by his grace, hopefully will not. That's when they asked if anyone wanted to do service. I know I have to raise my hand, so when they needed a moderator. So I would like to present a question. I believe that, Corey, you answered it, and if Kaylee, you could. If someone, you know, I'm willing to be made willing, I think, you know, I love what someone said, the opposite, rebellion. How can I get there? How can I get to willingness? So,
I realized as you were just talking, something I didn't say was to pray for the willingness if you don't have it right now. Through the desperation, I think the only option is to go to God when you're desperate, or to go to whatever your version of a higher power is. And so if you can go to that higher power, that God, and ask for help and ask to be willing to deal with those things. And if you ask every day, I bet you he will answer your prayers. That's what I got.
So I talked in the beginning a little bit about, you know, when I said that I was going to just keep coming back no matter what, that my food cleaned up. What I also didn't tell you about that was shortly before a birthday party weekend, and I jumped in and did service. And I heard someone once say, every time I hear something interesting, I write it in my big book, and then I translate it into a document. And someone said that we don't get abstinent. God gives us that, and we just have to find a way to keep it. And so I guess for me, the willingness is just sometimes, like, I don't think I, as willing as I was to change my food, I don't think I changed my food. I think I just got busy. That's what they said. And they talked about that more when I was newer, you know, back then, but just get busy, just do more. And it's so interesting even now when I'm feeling like I'm hungry or I'm struggling or, that I just go to, like, I might add more meetings, or I don't know, I'm sponsoring 3 people now. I didn't think I had the time to sponsor anybody. And I don't always love it, but I always get something from it. So I don't know. I think just my experience was I stopped focusing on the food and just did the things, just work the tools. And I had a sponsor who said, you know, even pray for the people that grow the vegetables out in the, you know, just like increase your, like, it just, I just got busy. So that's my. Thank you.
I believe we have time for one or two more. I think you were first. And, oh. Yeah, I think this lady was first.
I'm Rochelle. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I've gotten a lot out of this session today. I'm a two-time cancer survivor, and if I treated my compulsive overeating disease with all the respect that I gave cancer, I put cancer up there, and I just anybody really, I did whatever they told me. And I remember going to the oncologist with the second cancer and saying to her, here's the deal. I'm not going to consult Dr. Google, and which I highly recommend not doing if you ever, God forbid, get cancer. I will trust you. You have the credentials. I'll do whatever you do. You tell me to do. I won't question it. And then you're not going to let me die. And that was the bargain I made with her standing in Cedars-Sinai that day. And that's what I did. And I took it with the seriousness. I had spreadsheets. I had an Excel spreadsheet. I had alarms set for my medications. I prayed like there was no, I mean, like God was probably tired of hearing from me. I just prayed. I listened to spiritual meditation. It was just amazing. But I also knew there was an end in sight. And I think that's the challenge that I have. I'm working on the program, and I'm doing better than I have been in a long time. But it's that it's going to be forever thing that I think. But there are other physical diseases, like you mentioned, the diabetes. There are other diseases that we get. I mean, I have high blood pressure. That ain't going anywhere, probably, and other things. But it's amazing when a certain thing is elevated, a certain disease, and takes on the seriousness. And what I want to take away from this is the willingness to treat this disease exactly the way I treated my cancer. And I'm here today. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Jessica, compulsive overeater. This has been a great session. Thank you all. Thanks for everybody who shared. I'm in program 12 and a half years. I came in 2007 and was abstinent on day one, but not necessarily willing to do a whole bunch of other things besides not eat sugar, and that was all I could do for 6 months. And then with the willingness to not eat sugar, and the reason I became willing is because I was honest. Honesty is step one. I told someone my secret, and then I went home and threw away all my food. It was really amazing. 6 months into it, I was willing to stop eating as much as I was eating before. And then 3 months after that, I was willing. Well, I went to a meeting, and I was willing to go to a meeting. And then I was willing to go to another meeting. And then I was willing to do the steps and get a sponsor. And it just, like, took me time. I do one thing at a time. But I realize now, after all this time, I was really willing to go on diets, and I was really willing to eat candy cake, ice cream, and cookies, the four basic food groups, just about every day. I have to have as much willingness to work this program, to stay abstinent, to volunteer when I don't want to do service, as I was to secure my drugs. And I would drive way out of my way to go get my drugs in the middle of the night. You know, nothing would stop me from getting my sugar. And I have to be, if I'm even half as willing to work this program as I was to secure my fix, then I'm doing pretty good that day, because it took a lot of energy to get to 185 pounds. And it didn't hardly take any energy at all to lose it, which was No, I didn't lose all 185. I only lost 65 pounds. But for me, that's a lot. The weight just fell off me, so the weight was the easy part. It was the crazy up here that was the hard part, and I had to be willing to do the steps numerous times and do inventories and go to meetings and take service positions. I was even the chairman of the board 1 year. And it was not the easiest year of my life, but you know what? I did it because I needed to give back to this program who gave me freedom. And all of you, you know, it's also about the fellowship. And I really love the fellowship in OA. We get each other. We were talking about that this morning on the way here. We just get each other. And that makes the difference, being among your people. So thanks for letting me share.
We have time for one more. Anybody have a burning desire? Come on down.
Hi, I'm Pam, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Pam.
And thank you so much for sharing. And it's good to see you guys. I don't know. I'm really grateful to be here, and willingness has been key in my recovery. I've been in the program over 30 years, and you know, I've had a lot more weight loss. My mother passed away last March, so I've been busy taking care of the estate, going through all the stuff, and my mother and I did not have the best relationship. But it's only by working this program and being willing to do the work, to do the writing, to talk to my sponsor, to surrender, to pray, to meditate, that I am so grateful I'm a compulsive overeater. Because when I was able to be there for her without judgment, without getting into any stuff, and that was truly a gift. And this program is truly a gift. And I sponsor someone now. I have a sponsor and everything. But that's such a gift for me. You know, it's so wonderful to answer that phone. It reinforces my program so much. And, you know, if I don't have the willingness, I pray for it, like you were saying, because that's the only thing I can do is pray for it and ask God for help. And usually that comes. It may not come the way I want it, but usually it does come. And, you know, like I said, I've been in this program a long time, and I have 6 years of abstinence. So I have not been absent the whole time, and I've had a lot of relapses, but I've learned a lot in this program, and I've never gone away. And recovery is here if you're willing to go for it, and I am, and I hope you are too. Thank you.
All right, that's all the time we have for sharing. It's now time to close this session. Let's thank our speakers and all who have done service. If you enjoyed this workshop, we encourage you to stop by the tape table to order copies of this session or any other sessions. Pardon me. All workshops and main speaker events are being recorded and are available on CD or as an electronic download. If you wish to, please join hands as we close with the Serenity Prayer. It also says, or the third step. Let's do the third step.
Of thy power.